Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your comments, your discussion, your dialogue, your questions in relationship to what we're talking about today. We're talking about from tyranny to anarchy, and we're watching anarchy explode across the nation. And I believe, as the congressman just said before our break, I believe there's an ulterior motive, and I believe the ultimate motive is to get to President Trump. In fact, here's an article that touches on that, and one that most people would recognize the name Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, as they call him. Here's an article that says, with home state of Minnesota in flames, MyPillow CEO makes a stunning political announcement. In an interview with Newsweek, Newsmax TV, MyPillow founder and Minnesota resident Mike Lindell condemned his state's handling of the death of George Floyd, as well as the riots and aftermath, and said to he may consider the run for governor's mansion in the North Star State. In the interview, Insider Report, Lindell said that Derek Chauvin, Minneapolis officer whose action may have led to the death of Floyd, should have immediately been arrested and held in custody after the incident. I agree with that. It's sad because I think our leadership could have been a lot more prepared, Lindell said. It comes down to we've had some very poor leadership from the mayor all the way to the Attorney General Keith Ellison to the governor, and the list goes on. Lindell said that the police officer at the center of the controversy should have been held under Minnesota law that allows suspects to be kept in custody for up to 48 hours without charge. And he goes on to talk about how the ultimate goal in this is to get to the president and to prevent him from his reelection in November. And we sit fomenting. And, Congressman, I've said several times of recent, I believe we're going to see it get exponentially worse before the November 3rd election. That is a national election that I believe is the most pivotal election that we'll see in mine and your lifetime. Congressman, hang in there for just a minute. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Youngblood. This is Jeff. How you doing
today?
Hey,
Jeff. Good.
Hey. 2 points. One, what you said earlier in the broadcast, the beginning of every broadcast, right now society is so fake, the truth actually bothers them. And you can try this at work. You can try this with your friends. You can try this with your coworkers. Anybody you want to try with. If you put out there the message that there's sin on both sides, it's a dripping, stinking sin that everybody needs to ask forgiveness for, you'll get thrown at you. Well, the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, this and that and the other. And you throw back, you don't follow sin with more sin, this and that and the other. You will be ostracized. Nobody wants to hear the truth right now. But the truth is, the second point is, the media doesn't want justice for George Floyd. They don't want justice for anybody. The media wants some Americans angry, rioting, impoverished, so they can get their politicians put in office from their fake empathy. That's the whole card they're playing, and they're using people. And people are, they just can't see that because they are just so full of sin themselves. They want to follow sin with more sin. And it's just, it's excrementing up and up and up. So my question is, if somebody throws that at you, you know, the Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. I know that's Old Testament. I know it's way before the gospel was preached. So my feeling would be, you know, the gospel changed all of that. I want to know your thoughts on what you would tell other people that are saying that eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth is biblical, so I should be out here burning down targets. And those are the 2 points I wanted to make.
Good. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your call. Congressman, I could answer that, but because I have faith and trust and confidence in you as a Christian gentleman and as a conservative and a constitutionalist and attorney, I'm going to ask you to respond to our caller's question.
It's a great question, and he makes an excellent point. Both of them were excellent. First of all, what we're seeing, I believe, Dr. Youngblood, is those on the left who are saying, you see what's happening right now, you see this racism, you see everything that's going on, you put us in charge and this won't happen. You put us in charge, and these things won't take place, because we're going to treat you with compassion and fairness, which of course is nonsense. That what happened in that isolated incident in Minneapolis could have happened regardless of who was president. And in fact, incidences like that did happen under President Obama. Now, to his other point, was an eye for an eye, as is stated in the Old Testament, and tooth for a tooth. What you have to recognize is that God's word makes a distinction between how individuals treat each other and how government is to function. Government is instituted among men, and there has to be justice when a crime is committed. That is Amen. Where government is to come in. Now, when two individuals are dealing with each other, and one is a Christian, the other is not, then we are given instruction on how we should behave then. And that is to love our enemies. That is to forgive them. And we can do that. Simultaneously, government is to step in and institute justice. So when someone says, hey, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, but the New Testament shows compassion, you have to make the distinction between how individuals treat each other and how government is to treat groups of people.
Very well stated. In fact, that's the purpose that God instituted government, is to for the protection of good and the prosecution of evil, and it is to do so with blind justice, as we recognize is the standard in America. Here's an article, Congressman, that says, mob descends on young man defending his store, stones him to a bloody pulp. The violence and looting engulfing multiple cities Saturday night left a Dallas man hospitalized after he tried to stand up to the mob that were rioting and looting in his store. The vicious assault the man suffered at the hands of the mob left him a bloody wreck on the pavement, according to multiple videos of the incidents that were shared on social media. The video pictures scene of graphic violence that could be very disturbing. Police said the man, whose name they did not release, had gone to the 2200 block of North Lamar Street in Dallas near the House of Blues with the intent of protecting his neighborhood from rioting. The man armed himself with a machete. Police said the man tried to face down the protesters, who then assaulted and overpowered him. The video shows the man surrounded by someone that hits him with what appears to be a skateboard. Other rioters appeared to throw rocks at him in his helplessness on the ground. Others, while he's helpless on the ground, came and kicked him some more. Police said at least 74 have been arrested in Dallas. Most were free on charges of inciting a riot, police said. Police said the riots developed in the aftermath of the protest of Monday's death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. The article goes on to talk about the police cars were mobbed and destroyed. The whole freeway was blocked, and they smashed business windows, looting and rioting. The article is about a four-page article going into detail of city after city after city across America. Congressman, let me bring out another nuance of this. And as you've said, and I have said myself so many times, I'm not a conspiracist, but I believe that we need to look deeper than what we're seeing right now. And this is not to defend the police officer, but in recognition of some things that we might not know. Here's an article that says, George Floyd and fired cop worked security together at a club. And I'll summarize it for our listeners for us to speak to this issue. The police officer had been on the force for about 19 years. About 17 of those years, he had worked as a security officer off duty on the parking lot of a club in that city, in Minneapolis. Also, George Floyd, and most are not aware of this, worked as security inside that club for most of those same years, almost simultaneously, with this police officer. Now, the article in the historical research that is available does not say if they had had any collision, if there had been any conflict, if there had been any confrontation, but the clarity of it is that they knew each other, they were familiar with each other, and yet when George Floyd, he was in a drunken stupor, according to the research, tried to pass a $20 bill that was counterfeit, the convenience store called police officers. The police officers got there as they should have. And then when there was, I don't know whether it's resistance or not, we can't say, because at this point I don't know, and I've not got an article that relates to that. But in some fashion, he was then summarily arrested, and the world knows the history from that point. Now, the point being, after the police officer put him in handcuffs, he was considered subdued and in control of the police officers, and it was out of protocol for that police officer to put his foot on this man's neck and hold it there for some 8 minutes. Now, the question that I, with the elongated statement that I asked, is there something, is there a dynamic? Were there dynamics taking place that we don't know of, that as a result of the two of them working in the same place of business for almost 17 years, one security inside, one security outside, what is the potentiality that there was something there that's unknown, still does not justify what the police officer did? So the point that I'm making with that and wanting you to respond to it, if that is the case, then we need to look beyond the law enforcement uniform that the police officer had on and recognize there was some major, major conflict between two people that ended in the death of one of them. And I am thankful that the police chief fired those four police officers. I am still of the opinion they need to have their day in court. I don't believe they should be tried and convicted by way of the news media or by publicity. But with that being said, how do you respond to that revelation for those thoughts? And how should we as Christians view what's taking place? How should we respond to what's taking place from a central biblicist Christian standpoint?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, it's interesting that as the days go by, we learn more and more information about this situation. And you bring up a point that they had known each other or worked at the same place for 17 years. So you would think that if they worked at the same place for 17 years, they did know each other. I think we can conclude that.
Yes.
What their relationship was, we don't know. We don't know if it was friendly, or if it was friendly and turned sour, or what the situation was. I believe that may come out in the trial that this police officer is going to have. And again, I agree that that police officer should have been arrested, and he needs to have a trial. It needs to be a fair trial.
Yes.
We can't issue a judgment condemnation until all the facts have come out, that he's had a chance to present his defense, and we go on from there. We are a nation that abides by the rule of law, and that's what we should do. We don't condemn and then therefore want to execute someone before we have all the facts, before everything has come out in this entire situation. It's interesting that last week when the mayor of the city was giving her response, I believe it was another city official who did say, hey, there is additional information here that we must consider, that we have to look at all the facts. And I think that's what we need to do, Dr. Youngblood, is even as Christians, we should not look at this short clip, because it was relatively short, 8 minutes, that we saw that it was horrible. It was horrifying to watch.
Yes.
That even then, we shouldn't come to a conclusion and say, hey, this man needs to be condemned. We have to instead get all the information and from that, make a determination and let justice prevail. Whichever way it comes out, justice
yes.
must prevail in this situation.
Yes, this is the thing that I believe that our listeners need to understand. And I believe from a standpoint, not just our listeners, but on a national level, that you cannot have vigilante justice. You cannot simply demand that this man be caught, tried, convicted in a 24-hour, 48-hour period of time and put to death or in some way majorly incarcerated because of he's not had his day in court. Even the most rank liberal in America should agree that we have we're a nation of laws, that we have the jurisprudence system, that there is the innocent until proven guilty, regardless of what the videos might show or say. But the bottom line is, Congressman, I'll ask it to you as a question. Can America survive if we do not curtail the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter, both of which, by the way, when you do the research, both of them are funded by George Soros. Both of them are socialist, Marxist, anti-American agendas, and yet both of them, as you said earlier in your comments, they have already pre-prepared signs. They have been put on notice on a national level. They're being notified, communicated with by the orchestrators and the organizers of these riots. We're watching the demise of America's foundation if we allow it to continue. Now, with that being said, I am fascinated. I am absolutely concerned and vitally interested in what our leaders are saying and doing. Listen, we had people in California and other states where they were being arrested because of not having social distance. We have had those arrested because they didn't have masks on. We've had those pastors and preachers arrested as a result of, and ticketed and fined as a result of not having social distancing as it's perceived in the churches. And yet we have hundreds of thousands marauding rioters and anti-Americans in the a focus on destroying our nation, that these governmental agencies, the governmental leadership, are not trying to find them, incarcerate them, or ticket them for not social distancing. So the question is, can we have any hope for America to survive lest the law enforcement take the responsibility of quelling these riots and these rioters and proper prosecution take place?
Dr. Youngblood, no nation can survive unless there is the rule of law in place to make sure that justice, that righteousness prevails. And that's what this nation is founded on, justice, righteousness, and civil obedience. But what we are seeing here is a contradiction in those things by those on the left who, for some reason, I don't understand it, Dr. Youngblood. For some reason, these anarchists want to just bring down the rule of law. They want to take away from our free market capitalist society and instead bring in socialism, which everywhere it has been tried up to this very day, this very moment, does not work. And so why they have this this cognitive dissonance to think that they can make it work when it is based on controlling human behavior, which you're going to get a resistance to right away, is beyond me. Now, we saw in Hillsborough County, as you just mentioned, a pastor who was arrested simply because they were going to church and wanted to worship the living God. Now, this same sheriff down in Hillsborough County was giving space to these rioters so that they can destroy and loot and cause all this destruction. I think what we need to see right now is that that is a sheriff who needs to be challenged, who needs to have someone come run against him in his next election and yes, hopefully defeat him. He has shown, demonstrated that he is not worthy to hold that title of sheriff in Hillsborough County.
You're exactly right. I'm looking at an article, Congressman, that says Federal Protective Services officer shot and killed, another critically wounded during the Oakland riots. Protesters and rioters erupted on Friday night in multiple cities across the country over the death of George Floyd, who died in police custody. In Oakland, California, two Federal Police Protective Service officers were shot on Friday evening. One died. There were at least 7,500 protesters in Oakland on Friday night where businesses were damaged, looted, burned, set on fire, etc. 18 people were arrested, and 6 Oakland police officers were injured. 2 Federal Protective Service officers were shot, and one died. Other was wounded. They're in the hospital. One's in critical condition, etc. Here's another article that says the riots destroyed a $30 million St. Paul affordable housing project. Twin Cities Business, a St. Paul-based developer, Wellington Management Incorporated, woke up on Thursday morning to find it it's under construction. 190-unit project had been torched and burned to the ground. The six-story, 190-unit affordable housing project had been slated to open in spring of 2021. As City of Minneapolis worksheet on the project listed, the total development cost of $37 million. the apartment project had been known as Midtown Corner. And this project, Congressman, was designed for those that needed affordable housing. And yet they basically burned down their own front yard and backyard because several square blocks of property, buildings, and stores have been burned to the ground, looted, and destroyed right there in St. Paul and in Minneapolis. Does it make sense that here's the death of one man, justifiable or unjustifiable, notwithstanding that? How do you honor the death of that person by simply pillaging and destroying your own backyard, your own front yard, your own town, your own neighbors, and your those that you have shopped with, bought with? And yet we have across America those that talk about food desert, where no business will set up a food store, et cetera, et cetera. Can we imagine why? If this is going to take place, most of the merchants are not going to risk that in the future, and so they'll continue to have the food deserts, as it is called in some spots in America. What is your response to this as far as the mentality of those that will say that, okay, George Floyd is dead, so therefore we're going to do all of this destruction in our own hometown, in our own backyard, and then that spreads across America? It has to be as a root cause that is not just organic, but is orchestrated and planned, and as you said, by George Soros and others that's funding it. I find it absolutely antithetical to anything that could be called rational thinking. This is the reason, Congressman, I say that what we're watching is a satanic, demonic aura that's spreading across America. And, of course, it's promulgated by those that want to destroy and undermine and tear down President Trump in his future election. Speak to those statements and those thoughts for our listeners that we might have a little clarity for what's taking place.
Dr. Youngblood, you are absolutely right. This is a demonic movement that we are seeing. Whenever you see violence, whenever you see destruction, whenever you see hate, what is involved is coming from the pit of hell itself. And we are seeing it on full display across many cities in America right now. And what a lot of people are not thinking on right now, which you briefly touched on just a minute ago, Dr. Youngblood, is the cost of all of this. Okay, when you destroy areas, if they are going to be rebuilt, that costs money. And if there is insurance that is in place, and hopefully there is, and those insurance companies then rebuild what has been destroyed, those insurance companies are now forced to raise insurance rates on everyone who is insured with that particular company.
That's right.
So it's going to cost money to a lot of people. Those, even the innocents who weren't anywhere near the situation, who did not cause any destruction at all, they can see their insurance rates going up now because this is not going to be free. When you see the National Guard being deployed, that costs money. It costs the states money. And so now the states have to spend money for this. And where is the state going to get that money from? Of course, from its citizens, from its taxpayers. Fortunately, in Florida, we have reserves set aside. And that was because of a conservative Republican legislative body, Senate and the House, and also the governor, that has been in place for about 20 years now, where we have over $4 billion in reserves set aside to take care of things like this COVID-19 and also this destruction that's taking place. But again, that has to be replenished. And so to put more money in those reserves, that means less money going to other areas that are needed, such as teaching, transportation, law enforcement, first responders. That means that money can't go there or it can be increased. So what we have to look at is not only just the social damage that is being caused, but also the financial damage that we're seeing. And we need to put a stop to it immediately. No more toleration of these taking place later this week, where these planned demonstrations of destruction we're seeing right before our eyes.
Yes. In fact, I'm looking at an article here. It says, rioters beat woman with a 2x4 after she asked them to stop pillaging her store. is in Rochester, New York. Here's another article. Dan Bongino, and most everybody knows that name, a former Secret Service agent and former police officer. Don Bongino reacts to violent rioters across the country. This isn't a protest anymore. This is a coup. He goes on to say, this is an organized internal coup by a small group of agitators acting as a domestic terror group in America to destroy our nation. And he goes on to talk about what is taking place in each of the states across America. And what it is doing, Congressman, this is what is so hurtful to me. This is what is so sad as I view it. The Bible says in Matthew 24 that nation against nation. The word nation in the Greek text is the word ethnos. That literally says ethnic against ethnic. That means race against race. And we're seeing that, and this is causing that race differentiation and division in America. Here's an article, for example, a black man who trains in boxing caught on video beating a white elderly man in a nursing home in Michigan. Now, you don't see any people getting out in the streets and rioting and burning buildings and destroying because of that, because this young man that did perpetrated the act, and it's horrific to watch the video of it. He videoed himself and then put it online and said that God created blacks to control the world. White people have taken over. Now we must take the control back. And that is horrific to watch and listen to. But you don't see people advocating to get out in the streets and to burn businesses and buildings and destroy lives as a result of it. But what is, again, and it goes back to the demonic, satanic approach to tear down and destroy and to divide we Americans and to, as the bottom line then, undermine the foundation of our nation. Congressman, we've got about a minute and a half, and I'm thankful for you and for your commitment to the Lord, your commitment to conservatism, your commitment to the place of leadership in Tallahassee and serving the citizens of the state of Florida. You're being primaried. You have a primary coming up. Tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can help you, how they can pray for you, how they can help fund your campaign. Let our listeners know in this last minute of what they can do to assist you in that race.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. First of all, your listeners can pray for me. That I covet more than anything
Amen.
Else. And if they were to pray for courage and wisdom and peace, And I know many are praying for that now, and I feel those prayers, Dr. Youngblood, because I am at peace most Amen. Of the time as I continue my walk with the Lord. But they can reach me at votemikehill.com. Votemikehill.com. You'll see what my issues are, what I stand for. You can also donate there. And by the way, Dr. Youngblood, several of your listeners have gone online and have donated. I am very grateful for that.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, do that. VoteMikeHill.com and find that donate button and donate today. He needs the funds. He needs our prayer. He needs to be put back in office. He needs to remain in office representing us in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time on the air as once again, we face the issues.
3 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.